It's a blessing to open God's word with you today. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. Our verses will be verse 9 to 19. Hear these words from the Lord. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They torn down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, a son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouth have not kissed him. Thus far, our reading from God's word. A universal experience that we all share is feeling discouraged. Discouragement can feel us leaving defeated and deflated. It leaves us second-guessing, makes us wonder, are we making the right choice inside of our life? It's the harrowing feeling when all of our motivation is sapped away and our judgment is clouded. It's the feeling we experience when we face disappointment and our expectations aren't met. Discouragement happens all the time in our relationships. Maybe you've poured an effort and you've committed to your marriage or some of your friendships, and in return, you just feel neglected and you're left wondering, is this even worth trying anymore? In our jobs, we put in our very best. We try to be as efficient as possible. And instead of receiving recognition, we're simply seen as an insufficient tool who's not working hard enough, who's not being better. When we experience discouragement, are we left second-guessing our actions and eventually just giving up? In today's story, the prophet Elijah has reached his breaking point. God sees his people at his lowest moments and encourages them back to faithfulness and to a hope that he will stay faithful to them. The gospel message that God shows us today is that he will meet us where we're at. When we feel discouragement, we're not alone, but we worship a God who listens and calls us to hear his voice and receive his grace. So three things that I want to bring attention to is what it looks like when God's people experience discouragement. God's still, small voice, how he speaks to us with his gracious whisper, and how God's plan brings hope for us. In this chapter, Elijah runs away from Queen Jezebel, who swears on her own life that she will put Elijah to death. This happens after God demonstrates his victory over Queen Jezebel's false god, the false god Baal. There was a contest on a mountain to show which god was real, and our God won. It seems like God's kingdom was slowly repairing itself, but all of the political leaders who were still in charge of Israel, they don't change their ways. If anything, they actually double down on their rebellion. Discouragement often comes when you have great expectations for something. You expect and you feel that God is going to make big changes inside of your life. But when that doesn't happen, when things don't go that way, you're left feeling deflated. You're left underwhelmed. That must be how Elijah would have felt. He likely thought that after this great victory, there would be a total 180 inside of his kingdom, and God would be worshipped again, and the king and the queen would repent. But instead, the very opposite happens. Jezebel threatens Elijah's life, and he runs away, and he arrives at Mount Horeb, which is where this story takes place. Elijah meets God and calls out to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And when you look at Elijah's complaints, I notice how clear his language is. "All of the Israelites have rejected your covenant. I'm the only prophet left." Elijah is telling a half-truth. He's exaggerating how bad things actually are. In chapter 18, when God revealed himself over the false god Baal, several Israelites confessed in God, and they returned to faithfulness. Also, Elijah had a ministry partner named Obadiah, and Obadiah was in charge of gathering a bunch of prophets and hiding them into safety, about 1,000 in total. So Israel is definitely at a low point, but not everyone has rejected the covenant. Elijah's exaggerating here. When discouragement grips us tightly enough, it saps away our hope, and we enter into despair. And we just assume that things are never going to get better. Our suffering has no end in sight. There's no point in trying. When disappointment and discouragement overwhelms us, we could feel just like Elijah. We feel like giving up, and every faithful step we take towards God is just going to be met with more discouragement, and we convince ourselves that things won't ever get better. To give a personal example of what discouragement can look like, when I was entering my second year in seminary, I was excited for the upcoming semester. I moved into a new house, which was significantly cheaper, which in Vancouver, that means everything. I was looking forward to my new semester. I was taking several courses that I was excited for. I was starting my internship at the church that I was worshiping at. And I had all of my small group and my young adults material. Everything was all planned. I also got a job offering. One of the professors asked me to be a research and a teaching assistant. Everything on paper looked like this next season of life was going to be the best season. I couldn't think of any complaints. That's what things look like on paper. At the start of the new year, I got a back injury called sciatica. And what happened was one of the bones in my tailbone was essentially out of socket, and it was pushing and pinching against my sciatic nerve, which runs down your tailbone, down to your leg. On my best days, walking and standing was almost impossible. And on my worst days, I was bedridden and had to move every 20 minutes because I was always uncomfortable. The next 6 months, especially, were some of the hardest months of my life. Everything that I was looking forward to just instantly came to a dead stop. I couldn't accept my job offering. I could barely attend church that semester, so my internship had to be delayed. Most of my courses I had to take online. I could barely make it to school. During that time, I just kept on praying, why did this have to happen? Why, oh Lord, is this taking so long? I was so excited for my next season, and it felt like every source of joy was taken away from me. How long until I can leave the house without feeling any pain? How long can I have a good night's sleep without waking up 4 or 5 times in the evening? I felt like there was no end in sight. When discouragement grips us, it whispers to us that we shouldn't have any hope. It makes us so laser-focused on your disappointment that you can't imagine that anything is going to get better. Elijah has reached his wit's end. Every step of faithfulness and obedience that he has taken has been met with threats. God hears Elijah's visceral words, and God doesn't lecture him, but instead he tells the prophets, go stand outside the cave, because I'm coming to meet you. In the text, it says that this story takes place in Mount Horeb. This is a very famous mountain in the Bible, although it's more commonly known by its other name. Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. This was the same mountain that God revealed himself to Moses as a burning bush. This is the same mountain when God gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites. This was where God revealed himself to his people. When this story begins, we read that Elijah went into a cave to spend the night. Centuries before the story takes place, Moses asked God to reveal his glory. He says, I need to see you if you want me to be a leader, to lead your people responsibly. And God told Moses that if he revealed himself to Moses, Moses would die. So he got Moses to hide behind a cleft or a cave in a rock when God passed by. In the Hebrew text, it doesn't say that Elijah went into a cave. It actually stresses that Elijah went into the cave. It's very likely that this was the very same place where Moses once hid from God's glory. And just as God previously revealed himself to Moses and the Israelites centuries ago, he's going to reveal himself to Elijah as well. In this passage, there's several callbacks to the previous times that God has revealed himself. God sends a windstorm, an earthquake, and a fire. All of these were signals to show God's presence, especially to the Israelites. All of these were previous ways that he has shown himself. But unlike before, it says God doesn't appear. God sends these events. They certainly wouldn't happen without God, but it stresses that God wasn't there. Instead, he comes to Elijah not in a loud, theatrical, or bombastic way, but he comes to him with a gentle whisper. Other translations use the phrase, a still, small voice. God meets Elijah, the discouraged prophet, with gentleness. And that still, small voice may be how God is speaking to each one of us here today. When we face discouragement in our life, God's gentleness can calm our worries. In our world today, the small and gentle voice of God is often neglected. We often forget about it. Instead of seeking our comfort in God, we look to all kinds of different places to help us when we're discouraged, all kinds of different places for help and for security. Have we tried looking for help in all of the wrong places in our life? For many of us, it could be money. Money is our God. When we believe we have enough financial security, then nothing would ever discourage or threaten us ever again. What if it's the constant pursuit of relational validation? Once we know that we're loved by a spouse or whomever, we feel content with our life, and we feel secure and safe, like nothing could ever harm us. While those things are good things, they're also open to discouragement. If anything, they could be bound to disappointing us. Those things were not made to be your God. They weren't made to be worshipped. They weren't made to be your ultimate priority in your life. The one thing that will always help you in the face of discouragement is God. God's welcoming, always forgiving, forever inviting, always loving voice is the solution to our discouragement. In our life today, can we find ourselves and listen to God's voice? Can we still our hearts and silence every other distraction inside of our life and let God's truth speak to us? For many of us, we've come to God when we've reached a low point inside of our life. For a lot of us, we feel God most powerfully when we feel the most broken. And that was exactly for my case as well. When I had my back injury, I felt all of my joy was taken away. It was robbed from me. It was not a joyful season at all. But it was certainly a formative one. Several nights, I couldn't sleep because of the pain, and I couldn't focus on schoolwork. I could barely attend church. Making it to school was a hassle. In a sense, I was by myself. Every other place that I found my security, where I found my joy, was gone. I had nowhere else to go. And I spent most of my nights, most of my days, just praying and reading the Psalms over and over again. I was forced to be silent. I was forced to put away every distraction. And that's when I could truly hear and absorb and receive God's voice. God taught me that He's our refuge and our strength. He's a fortress of salvation and an ever-present help in our time of need. In those moments, God was the steady and present voice that I could trust Him. When we're disappointed inside of our life, we can hear God's gentle voice. We could feel Him nudging you, inviting us to come before you. God encourages Elijah by speaking to him in the present with gentleness. And He also shakes Elijah out of discouragement by giving him a hope of what's to come in the future. The final passages show us how God brings us out of discouragement and towards hope. God once again asks Elijah, what's he doing here? And Elijah repeats the same complaints, exactly word for word. And God encourages Elijah out of discouragement by giving him a hope for the future. God instructs Elijah and gives him the encouragement that he needs to hear. A new king named Hazael will rule over Aram. Hazael was famous for fighting against the Assyrian Empire, which was an empire known for being a constant problem for the Israelites. Jehu will be the new king of Israel. Jehu is responsible for ending Queen Jezebel and King Ahab's rule, and he inaugurates a new period for Israel. Elisha will also be a new prophet who serves God and speaks on behalf of him. And also, there's 7,000 Israelites who have never even worshipped any false gods before, and they're loyal to their God. Even at one of the lowest moments of Israel's kingdom, God shows Elijah that his covenant isn't over. God demonstrates to Elijah that this period of discouragement will soon lead to a period of hope. God will remain faithful to his people. God promises to remain faithful to each one of us. Just because we're Christians, just because we're part of the church, doesn't mean that we're immune towards discouragement. All of us have and will go through seasons when life will feel too much for us, when we feel like God's presence is just not there. God invites us, just as he brings Elijah out of discouragement, by showing him that hope hasn't ended. When we face discouragements, we don't need to give up or despair, but God encourages us to run towards him and to rely on his promise that he will be there to care and look after his people. And ultimately, we see this hope fully revealed when the still, small voice comes to earth. The ultimate hope that we have in our life, the ultimate comfort that we can always trust and depend on, no matter how far we walk away, is the Son of God, is Jesus. Jesus shows his gentleness by welcoming all who come before him. He welcomed the marginalized members of society. He sat and he ate with the tax collectors and the prostitutes. He forgave adulterers. He welcomed sinners. Jesus was open to the discouraged and the hurting members of society. Jesus shows his victory over discouragement in the most harrowing of circumstances. When Jesus went to the cross, it looked like all hope was extinguished. For the disciples, they probably thought the teacher that they loved, that they learned under, that they followed for 3 years, was nailed to the cross and killed. And they returned to their normal life. But at the lowest and most discouraging moments, the Son of God rose from the dead and shows us that discouragement won't last forever. But a new era will come when sin and death and whatever pulls us away from Christ will be brought to an end. Whatever discouragements that we face in our relationships, in our ministry, in our finances, God invites you with his gentle voice to come before him. We don't need to bear discouragement on our own. We don't need to find some solution on our own work, on our own strength, or even anywhere else in this world. No, Christ meets us where we're at. And there's no discouragement that's too great for him. There's no sin that's too grievous. Nothing would be too unbearable for him to forgive. People of God, discouragement isn't a matter of if it happens, but when it happens. We're people who are easily frightened. We have our trust shaken so easily, and we can be double-minded. We can face discouragements, and we will, but we're given a hope that whatever we face will not last forever. Jesus invites each and every one of us today to listen to his voice. Hear his words from Scripture and trust that he has promised a new day when our sin and our shame are brought to an end. and discouragement will be a distant memory. And until that day arrives, Christ invites us to lay down our burdens and our hurts on him, to let Christ be your fortress of salvation, your refuge and strength, and your ever-present help in time of need. Let's pray together. Father, you meet each and every single one of us. Whether we feel burdened by sin or we feel like we're just going through the motions and we're in a dry spell, you welcome each and every single one of us, and you hold us in the palm of your hand. May we still our hearts to listen to you. May you open up our eyes and our ears to be receptive towards you. May you put an end to whatever distractions we face in our life. Help us to center our eyes and our hearts on you, because our hearts are restless until they find comfort and peace in you. In your name we pray, amen.